Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Mr. Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Mr. Stone, how are things in your world?
I am doing well. Tonight's going to be a fun night. I get to stop by GC Barbecue, and we're going to load up and take that out to my Uncle Rock, who's been a little bit under the weather lately, and so I'm looking forward to the GC Barbecue tonight. So everything is geared toward that for today.
Now, what do you order there? Ribs or the pulled pork?
You got to get the pulled pork. You know, we had those guys in the studio.
Yes, I know.
You got to get the pulled pork, and the mac and cheese is absolutely heavenly. And then if you're in the inside circle, like we are,
yes,
if you'll call them on Thursday night or Friday morning, they will do that big Flintstone beef rib for you.
One rib?
On Fridays.
Wow.
One rib's enough. I mean, But you got to have deep pockets like you do.
Okay, so they...
So that's what's on my brain. What's happening over in your side of the fence?
I got nothing much. Just usual fun and games here.
Well, we got a studio full this morning. This is going to be a good show. I've been looking forward to this one for some time. A little bit later in the program, we have a return guest, and Mr. Les Adkins. That sounds like, isn't there a guitar player? Is that Chet Adkins?
Sounds like a country music guy.
Yeah, really. So, but we've got Les back, and of course, Les.
Is he going to sing?
I don't know. We'll find out.
I hope so.
But, of course, he did a fantastic job last time he was in the studio. He's no stranger to the Business Radio X family, but also he is the star of our mugshot campaign. You know, we started taking pictures of people with the Business Radio X mug in all kinds of interesting places, and he sent us a shot with he and his mug at the Rockefeller Center and Radio City Music Hall.
Nice.
So we'll hear from him a little bit later in the program, but first up, on the High Velocity Radio Show, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the Grand Poobah with an outfit called iBusiness Network, and his right-hand person is here with us as well. So welcome to the show, Gary Feldman and Leslie Dubin.
Hello, good morning.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Yeah, we are delighted to have you. Now, Leslie, you and I met at a remote broadcast that we were doing.
Yes.
And we decided we got to get you in the studio because we just, you know, that little quick interview, that wasn't going to hold everything you had to say about IBN, was it?
Well, I sort of twisted your arm, but we made it here, but we're looking forward to it. Definitely. We're excited.
Yeah. All right, Gary, saddle up to this microphone and tell us a little bit about, give us a thumbnail sketch, if you would, a little bit of an overview about iBusiness Network. What are you guys out there doing for folks?
So iBusiness Network basically takes small and medium-sized businesses and helps them improve their operations by providing them ERP business management software over the internet via private cloud.
So ERP is a phrase that I'm a little bit familiar with, but I've always associated it with really large organizations. And what I'm hearing you say is you can bring some of those same economies of scale, some of those same benefits to small and medium-sized businesses. Am I hearing that right?
Right. Enterprise Resource Planning, or ERP, basically is taking all the components of a business and putting it into a single information management system so that the people could be more efficient with the data and have it all in one place. And so everybody's talking on the same piece of paper, off the same page.
And why is that important?
Well, if you're selling something and the people who are manufacturing it have no clue of what you're selling, they're not going to make it in time to give it to the customer who needs it. So basically, by having everybody playing in the same playbook, you are much more efficient.
And you can't sell something with it not being in the warehouse.
Okay, so this keeps everything, everybody can keep track of everything at the same time?
Real time.
And then the grand poobah doesn't necessarily have to be walking around the warehouse to see what's on the shelf. They can get it off of their Kindle Fire or their iPad or their iPhone or however they need to see the information.
So what impact, if any, has this whole cloud thing had on organizations that are small and medium-sized to be able to capitalize on these big systems? Is that what has put this in reach for the small and medium-sized businesses? Or is it just a new way of doing what we were doing in the old days anyway?
Yeah, you know, that's a very loaded question.
How much time have we got?
Yeah, it's really not that they're doing the same things, and it's not really that it's doing new things. It all depends upon how you're using the technology. I mean, every company is unique. I mean, it's created in the, you know, the image of their father or however you want to put it. And so everybody needs to take advantage of the technology in order to meet their business needs. And really what the cloud is doing and what doing it on the web is all about is just getting the information into the hands of the people when they need it, the specific information they need when they need it to do their job better. So small businesses can do it just as well as big businesses can do it. Everybody needs to know what they need to know when they need to know it.
Now, this cloud isn't really in the cloud, right?
It's water vapor.
It's wires, right, under the ground?
Well, you know, it is and it isn't. Basically, the difference between, you know, everything that's old becomes new again. Like Leslie and I were talking, it's like the old concept of the mainframe where the data is all stored in one place, and then people used to get it with wires over terminals. Now it's basically in data centers, you know, that are very secure and very powerful computers, and then they just broadcast it in a very secure way over the internet so that this way people can get it wherever they happen to be. But
and on devices that are technology agnostic, so whatever you're holding, you're able to get it.
So where is the data?
It's actually in computers, you know, which do
but
have like
where? In Switzerland?
Oh, well, it depends.
In Smyrna?
Our private cloud is in Suwannee.
Suwannee.
In a large... We use
someone's basement?
No. there are companies that do nothing but provide data center services to companies like ours.
Like a data center is a just a computer?
No, a data center is a building which has special... power has redundant and multiple connections to the internet. Like ours has one connection that goes up to Charlotte and one connection that goes down to Atlanta. So the internet never goes down in this building. The power was Georgia Power built a separate substation specifically for this one building, and they do have the wires under the ground going to the building, but it doesn't power the computers in the building. It powers these huge turbines that just spin and clean the power, and even if the power was cut, they've got all this other power behind it and all these you know, backup generators. So it never, the in the 12 years we've been there, I think we lost 3 seconds worth of downtime.
Now, but the so my stuff, instead of being on my computer, which is vulnerable, like in my house, is on that computer that's less vulnerable.
Correct. And basically, when you type on your keyboard in your house, we capture your keystrokes and mouse clicks, and then we send you back a picture of what would have been on your computer from our computer. So all that's traveling over the internet is really keystrokes and mouse clicks and scrambled pictures that get reassembled when they hit your computer.
So I don't even notice this. It's just happening in my... It's seamless and...
Seamless. It looks like the way that we deliver applications, it looks just like it's running on your computer, except it's not.
No different.
So what might be an application or a service that a business like Business Radio X might have? And I'll give you a little context. Of course, we have shows like this across 3 studios now, all over town. Something's going on 24/7.
Right.
There are people out in the world well beyond Atlanta that want to hear what's being broadcast live, but they also want to go back and listen to last week's show.
Right.
That kind of thing. And then we have, as a business, like any other business, we have financial data. And it's very vulnerable sitting over there.
We have pictures of mugs.
We have pictures.
And we can't afford to lose.
And barbecue.
Are we even in your world at all? Is there stuff that we should be using from you or somebody like you
well,
for our business?
Are you actually streaming the radio show from this room right here, right now?
Yes.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty
right.
impressive.
So there are people out there listening to us
off
live.
Of
probably
Stone's
a lot more today.
Fire.
Right. Probably more people listening today because we have Leslie
yes,
Dubin in the house.
Exactly.
But,
well,
but yes.
And I was going to say, yes, you can take advantage, and I've got a contract right here. I'm
well,
happy
you
to
go.
Have you sign and buy our services today.
But some of our customers who let's say, manufacture these electrical equipment, they have all sorts of videos of how to use it, how to maintain it, how to keep it up and running.
Training.
They used to have it in their office, and now they have it in our data center because our data center, they found it to be faster. Mm-hmm. They found it to be less expensive. They found it to be
safer,
but also they didn't want to be IT people. They wanted
right,
to be
right.
people who built this machinery. So they outsource that to us, and then we have a content management system for them so people can go online, their customers and suppliers, and log in and get any kind of document on how to maintain the equipment. Their salespeople can log in and put in their sales opportunities. And then their financial people actually have all their accounting data in our data center, and they access it from anywhere, and so does their parent company in that particular case.
So when you get up in the morning, your main mission is radio. It's not IT. And we help take that burden off your shoulders so you can just stick to what your goals and missions are, what your passions are, and let us take care of the rest.
And people are willing, and rightly so, to write a check for that peace of mind and,
absolutely,
and that utility.
And security.
Yeah. All right. So help us understand the different roles in the organization. Gary, did you invent this thing, build this thing, start this thing, and then you found Leslie? Or how, what do you guys do today? Like, after we get through playing here, what are you guys going to do today?
Right. Well, you know, back I would say probably too early in our history. Back in 1999, myself and some of the other founders of the company were basically delivering a large ERP system to utilities. And we found that the technology that we were using was really cool, and we thought it would be really good if we could take that technology and make it more affordable to small and medium-sized businesses. Of course, in 1999, people were like, what?
What is host?
What is that?
What is host?
So, you know, now it's a lot easier for us to kind of talk about this stuff because people, you know, thank goodness for those big companies who use it have made it more commonplace. But so I basically just watch everybody else do the work now. But
and what is your role, Leslie?
So I am sales and marketing. So I help Gary with sales and marketing efforts. So what attracted me to IBM is that they were early adopters. So they were doing hosting back before the word cloud was even coined. And you got to respect that to invest in a new technology or concept that you're kind of a forerunner. There's no messaging that already exists out there. So I help with selling, accounting, and cloud services, hosting, and help with the marketing initiatives around that.
The one thing I think that we should point out that's different today than it was, you know, 12 years ago when we started this thing, or 13 years ago, was back then, you know, you asked the question, Lee, about how it's different from the computer that's sitting in your office to the computer that's sitting in our office. And basically, when you buy a computer, you buy a fixed capacity, right? It's got so many gigs of RAM. It's got so much storage on the hard drive. It's got a certain processor.
You're limited.
And the difference with the cloud is that we've taken a bunch of computers and we put them together into a pool of resources. So basically, as your business grows and as your business change, we just turn some knobs and push some buttons, and all of a sudden you have more power, you have more space, you have more storage, you have more of whatever you need. And if your business is seasonal, you can actually contract and use less power and less storage, and you only pay for what you use. And that's really one of the biggest differences with today's technology than what it was 10, 12 years ago, is that now you've got these companies like ours who can basically create these virtual machines out of a pool of resources, and so it's ultimately scalable or can be contracted to match your business.
Now, pay by the drink.
Now, is this is the future of this where everyone's going to have kind of a dummy computer and then just be able to type in a login password, and then I'm going to have access to all my stuff wherever I am? Like, I can go to your house, go to your PC, or you pick up your iPhone and use your stuff.
I wouldn't call an iPad or an iPhone a dummy.
Well, you know, haven't seen me use it.
Yeah, what do you see Lee use it?
But it's anything. It's BlackBerry. It's anything.
So. Right. So it'll be, like you said, I guess it's agnostic to the device, but it's it'll enable me to get on and use it as if it's my own, and then someone else, a complete stranger, I can log off. Somebody else can pick up the same exact device, and they can log on. And then they have...
I know where he's headed with this. Yes, Lee, you can use it from your beach house.
There
that's his question.
Thank you.
But it'll be a completely different experience for you than for Lee, because you have different roles in your organizations. But yeah, absolutely. But
different
that's today.
Different access, different security.
So when do you know that it's time to start looking at a solution like this? So you're looking at your business. You're starting to grow. What are some indicators?
Right,
what are
the pain?
Yesterday.
What's the pain I'm having?
Salesperson says yesterday, so that's a slam dunk for her.
Call
but
me.
Is there some like magic things that converge and you go, wow, we got to get on this cloud thing now?
Well, you know, I think that there are some factors which drive people to the cloud. I mean, it's not just a one size fits all and everybody should just do it, as much as Leslie might say so, or lots of people might say so. But
stay with me, Gary. Come on. Work with me.
You know, do you have a people who are outside the four walls of your office? If you have people who are outside the four walls of your office, how are you going to get the information to them? And can you do it effectively? And is that really your job? You know, do you want to be worrying about that computer? And then how long is that computer going to be good? And then you're going to have to worry about it again.
Or obsolete from the time you bring it to the office.
We take care of all that for you, and you never even know that it's happening. So really, you know, is IT your competency? Do you have people outside the four walls of your office? And you know, a lot of the – what we kind of – tell people is it's not about the technology. It's not about the cloud. It's not about the software even. All of those are just tools. Are you ready to get your business to go to the next level? Do you want to be closer to your customers and to your suppliers? Do you have the need to give your people more information to make them more efficient? You know, these are kind of like the new age of management kind of thought processes, as opposed to, Leslie, you do what you do and I don't tell you anything else. And, you know, if you don't have a need to know, you don't know. That's mm-hmm. kind of like old school management. So, you know, I think a lot of the adoption of the cloud is caused by a lot of the younger generation who grew up with PCs and computers and you know, smartphones or they don't want to be tethered.
Well, in this ERP mindset where the salesperson does know what the inventory is and the shipping person does know what's getting sold, and the information for a while now, people are really embracing this idea of it flowing much better and faster. So how does one go about shopping for this kind of service? Because I'm under the impression you're not the only game in town. Now, I know Leslie
yes,
has told me you're the best
yes,
game in town.
Yes, we are. We are the only game in town.
What questions should we be asking if we're seriously considering engaging someone to help us with this? What should we be looking for? What kind of questions should we be asking them?
That's a very good question.
A lot of loaded questions today.
And really, there are a lot of different angles at which they should be looking at it. The first angle is, what are they trying to accomplish for their business? You know, is it just getting rid of the IT, or are they looking to transform their business? Because if they're just looking for the IT, there are some shops that just specialize in IT outsourcing, right? And then, you know, where we're a little bit different is that we focus on these business management software packages. So if you've been using the same package that you bought right when you were scared of Y2K, you know, and
I remember
and now, you know, you're thinking it is holding me back in some way, that's where somebody like us who specializes in that is a better pick for them.
Right.
If they are looking to do something like call center software, right? They do a catalog house. They probably want to go to a company that specializes in call center software, you know? So really, it's always about the business first, right? And then it's about the tool second. And we recommend that you look at people who are experts in that aspect of your business that you are looking to improve. And that's how, you know.
Now you guys,
and all sales jokes aside, whether you're one user or you're 1,000 users, you could take advantage of this, and your teams could take advantage of this. So I would get on the phone and call us, and we can help direct you.
So even a small emerging company should at least be exploring this and trying
Absolutely.
To learn more. And you guys are officially ordained. You got the lapel pin for a whole bunch of these
the
software systems, right?
Right.
For a lot of different software packages, that's
right.
Part of what you're offering.
So we're certified in several different packages. We are you know, Microsoft certified hosting company. We specialize in systems from SAP and from Sage Software, and so those are some of the things that we're quote unquote ordained in. But you know, we have customers. A lot of our customers were actually startup businesses. We've got a three user system that's doing probably $10 million worth of business, taking in orders from the web, sending those orders to their suppliers all electronically. The supplier sends the stuff to the customers. They get the invoice electronically, and then all they have to do is actually pay with American Express. So all they have to do is download their American Express statement, and all the paperwork is done electronically.
And Gary won't toot us on Torn, but he's a CPA, so we've got the expertise in house.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I can
so
cut, paste, and add. But
well, I you should call this like beach house management. Lee would write that check. One last question before we wrap up. I'd like to get some insight into, because it really does strike me as a fairly competitive arena, and we continue to hear about cloud solutions. How do you guys go to market? How do you get the word out and rise above the fray?
Well, like when you and I met at the Spirit of Endeavor Awards with Tech America. So getting involved with where is our market, where do they go, and be there with them and just kind of show our expertise through being in the community and helping with those market efforts and then having good references. That's the lifeline.
Yeah, we also have a network of partners all around the country because we are certified in both this cloud computing stuff and these applications. So if there is a guy in Sheboygan who sells SAP and they need it in the cloud, they'll also come to us. So because we're experts in both the actual application and the technology, we can deliver it better than some generic hosting company out there who's never heard of the software that we specialize in.
We've encountered the landmines, so we've got that 12-year experience.
Now, you mentioned CPAs. Is that one of the verticals you work in?
No.
just happen to be a
no,
CPA?
No, well, I started as a CPA, and anybody who hand-wrote us a check, I'd go out and sell them an accounting.
Nice,
that's how
nice.
I started in the business. But, no, there are companies who specialize in doing this for CPA firms, and we have a lot of CPA firms who are partners of ours or extended business members, as we call them, solution providers, who recommend our services to their customers because they can get access to their customers' books. They can download reports that are specifically designed for their tax software and then just import it into the tax software so they could do tax planning any time of the year. So we're kind of, we partner with CPAs, but we don't generally sell to CPAs because there's some specific practice management software that's available on the cloud as well.
Or do you work with any verticals, like just into specific industries, like more than others?
We're fairly horizontal. Cloud, anyone can take advantage of the cloud.
Right. Light manufacturing, distribution are probably the areas where
like
the software.
You mentioned call centers.
Yeah, call centers is not one of them. I mentioned it because I would say that that's where we would refer somebody on. But companies that buy and sell products who do, you know, manufacturing kitting of discrete products specifically.
Discrete products.
Discrete meaning that you make a widget as opposed to continuous
Lee was
flow.
Going in a completely different, you know, wrapped in brown paper envelope direction when you said discrete.
We don't judge here, Gary.
Keep it clean.
Now,
keep
there
it clean.
There is a specific vertical for microbreweries that we can support.
That's what he was talking about.
But I got the answer to my question. Fundamentally, your approach to going to the market is do good work and serve your community, serve your
Absolutely.
Arena, which I find very attractive, and I'm sure that your clients and referral partners do as well. Well, before we let you go, let's make sure that our listeners know how to reach out and get in touch with you. What is the best way for them to connect and have a meaningful conversation with you guys, Leslie?
Call me, 678-627-0646. I'm extension 231, and we're at i-b-business-n-network.com.
All right. Well, it's been an absolute delight having you both on the show. We got to have you back because I don't think this cloud conversation is going away. There's going to be more to talk about. And it might be fun to have you come in with a referral partner, somebody in that channel like you described, and or maybe a delighted client.
Absolutely.
Don't you think that
would
make for a good
show? We'd love to come back.
All right. Hey, listen, can y'all hang out with us for a little bit while we visit with our next guest?
Sure.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, next up on the High Velocity Radio Show is a return guest who is already a rock star in the Business Radio X network. He is with Orange SMS Consulting / My Silbert, so we'll get the skinny on what that's all about. Welcome back to the studio, Les Atkins.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, man. So what's been going on since we talked to you last?
Well, you saw my pictures from New York, right?
Yeah, and we put them on Facebook.
It's cool.
That kicked off our mugshot campaign.
I'm glad I could help.
So what were you doing in New York other than getting shots of the Radio X mug?
I was actually training. Something your previous guest would know, one of our clients is NetApp. Uh-huh. They're the second largest data storage company in the world. And so I was actually in New York training their professional services on how to recognize opportunities through a whole brain. We've talked about the whole brain effect and whole brain approach and also using a little bit of social media.
So are you using your whole brain?
No, you know, I'm not.
Most people don't worry about
sliver.
It.
I'm using a sliver of a brain.
This morning, I'm probably not using my whole brain either. So
for people like Lee that don't have a clue what you're talking about, give us the skinny on the whole brain thing.
So I'll give it to you in a quick summary that makes sense. So primarily everyone doesn't even think about how their thinking preference is. They don't think about how they think.
They don't think about their thinking.
They don't think about their thinking. Isn't that deep?
Especially for 10 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. I know. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. That's why I was up at 7, which I don't normally get up at 7 to get here. So, but you don't really think about how you think. But imagine someone that everyone knows, that one person that you avoid. You go to a party, you can't connect with them, you can't have a conversation.
That's usually
with them.
Me, right?
Right, that's
usually
Lee.
Me. They call him Lee.
They call him Lee. Okay, all right. So they go up to Lee. So they avoid Lee. So what's happening is not that this person is a complete, total idiot. It's that they have a different thinking preference than you do. From a business point of view, you need to recognize that if you're going to influence that particular person to move forward with your solution or your sale or a marketing, or even if you want your wife to buy a BMW, those type of things.
Just to be clear, I do not want my wife to buy a BMW, lest there be any confusion. So you are neck deep in the social media world.
Yes.
And with all due respect, you're not the first one to come to the studio to suggest that they
today.
Know something about social media.
Today
I know.
I mean, my head is spinning. Every time you turn around, you go to a cocktail party, anywhere you go, you meet this social media expert.
Right.
You can't find him on the web, but
you can't throw a rock and not hit a social media expert.
Just because you have a Facebook account doesn't mean you're a social media expert.
It doesn't? Well, darn, man. Okay, no, you're right. You're right. So one of the things that when I first started, there was literally a handful of us in the world that were doing social media and social strategy. In the last year, the last 3 or 4 years, it blew up, completely blew up. So it's like, you're right. If you do a Facebook page, you can call yourself a social media expert.
Right.
You and I have discussed this. I don't call myself an expert.
Ah, nice.
I don't call myself an expert. Anyone who does call themselves an expert, well, you know what the definition of an expert is, don't you?
Let's hear it.
Drip under pressure. So anyone who calls himself an expert, beware. Because chances are this industry, and even they, you know, discuss the cloud, this industry is changing so quickly, with Google just changing their SEO, you know, what they consider to get you on top of the web portion.
I noticed that they prefer things that they own. That helps.
Yes,
if
they
you
do
play,
prefer
play
things,
with things that,
they
that they
own.
That
did,
helps
did you,
you get
sign a time. Thing about the privacy?
That does work.
Because the last time I tried to go in, it said, you know, we got this new privacy
right.
thing.
And it's
good really
for you.
And it says it's really important. It's really important. You right. need to read it. Because right. they're right now in a major war with Apple.
Right.
I think that Google's not going away and Apple's not going away, but I think they're going to lose, both of them are going to lose some audience being in this
right.
war.
So
but
we're just going to go to Bing.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
Or Alta Vista.
You know, Bing is Microsoft, right? You know
yes.
that, right? Okay. So anyway, yeah, you know, you can't throw a rock without hitting somebody who claims to do social media.
Right.
So, you know, kind of what makes us different is we're truly business consultants. I've been doing business for 25 years.
Well, and those of you in the listening audience, he is the only guy in the studio with a tie.
That's it. That proves that he's a business consultant.
This is, yeah, that's
25
true.
Years before the internet. What'd you do back then?
I was actually selling radio and television.
Really? Like radios and televisions?
No, like radio advertising and television advertising. So, yeah, and I was actually an assistant news director. I graduated my undergrad with a broadcast production degree.
Oh, my.
So I get to play
you
with
got
those
a lot
little
of use
fun
out of
buttons.
That, huh?
Yeah, I did.
He's
did.
Wholly unimpressed with what he's
I learned here. Really quickly that the people in sales are making a lot more money than production people.
Really?
So I moved over to sales. So, but, yeah, so that's, I mean, so predominantly you're hearing a lot of buzz on social and things of that nature. There was just a big conference in California with Success Magazine, and also it was one of the top sales other magazines. I can't remember what it was, but one of the big things they're trying to do, or they talked about doing, is taking media out of the word social. So people that are quote unquote in the know want to start trying to call it social to avoid that media confusion. Because social media is not just another medium for your message. It truly is a brand new way of changing the way you do business. And it's changing what's out there. I mean, just look at, you know, Egypt and all the big things where social was used to, you know, quell rebellions, start movement.
Start rebellions,
build rebellions. you know, and it's so it's just a different way of communicating. Your previous guest talked about, you know, the way the world works is everyone needs to collaborate with everything. Well, there's a whole new generation called Gen Y that's how they work.
And they don't take out the trash unless specifically directed to do so. I can tell you
via
that.
Via text.
Yeah, you got a text. So what are some of the big blunders that you know, people like Lee and some others are making with respect to social media?
They're creating a Facebook page and calling it a social media strategy. So
what about a Twitter page?
They're tweeting and calling it a social media strategy.
So you don't care that I just had coffee at Starbucks? Is that what you're saying?
No. I do care. But it depends on if I'm in your circle of people that would care. It's all about, so it's really more about engagement. So you've got some people out there toting, you need a million followers, you need a zillion followers. I'm not a big fan of that because it's more about who you can engage with and how you engage with them on a regular basis.
So you're saying it's better to have a couple hundred people that you're engaging with than like 10,000 people that...
If you're a business, uh-huh. It depends on your goal. So we use a methodology called POST, which stands for, real quick, people, objectives, strategy, technology. If you notice, technology is always last. You have to know who your audience is. You have to know what your objective for the audience is. You have to know, build a strategy around that, and then choose the technology where that audience is. So if your audience is on Facebook, you need to be on Facebook. Now, I always say with 500 million people on Facebook, chances are you need to be on Facebook. However, if you're looking for the teen or tween audience, they're not on Facebook. No matter what people tell you, they're leaving by the grows because Facebook's becoming older. So they're going to other social sites like High Five and Bebo and different ones that are existing.
Never heard of either one of those.
Yeah, so those are... And
I'm on
and
Pinterest.
That's a new one for
me. Dude,
write it down. Pinterest. How do you spell it?
Interest with a P in front of it.
Right,
but what I'm hearing between the lines of what you're saying is what our last guest, you know, we had Gary Feldman and Leslie Dubin on, and we sort of wrapped it up saying their whole approach to going to market is by doing good work and serving their arena. And I'm getting the idea that these social media platforms, you don't go out there and jump up and down and tell them how great you are.
No.
You're trying to reach these people, engage them, and genuinely serve them. So it makes this whole approach and philosophy has every bit as much merit in the social media platforms as it does in the other world. Yeah?
Very much so, and even more so in social media, because one of the things we talk about, the big way of talking, is that you have to build trust first. Great example. Pepsi and Burger King did a gigantic social media campaign, came back with social media is dying, it failed, it didn't work for us. Coca-Cola and Virgin doing awesome growth, amazing content for the people, getting lots of value and new customers. So what was the difference between those two? All you need to do is go to their website, but I'll tell you. So the difference was that Coca-Cola and Virgin, those of you who have not heard of Virgin, it's Richard Branson, all the Virgin Empire, the airline and all of that, they already had the trust with their audience. They'd already built that trust. It was a loyalty thing. Burger King and Pepsi did not have the trust of their audience. So what they did is they actually just went and started using that media to sell. They had discounts. They had coupons. They had, you know, nothing to add value to humankind is what we say. So they didn't say, here's how to have a barbecue that's eco-friendly, or here's how to have a barbecue and save money. Here's what you need to do, buy our next Big Whopper and also drink a Pepsi while you're at it. And by the way, we've got this really cool celebrity who's promoting our events. None of that adds value to my life. None of that does. Coca-Cola, however, is saving the polar bears. Virgin is trying to get to space and also clean up the fuel and those type of things. So I'm not saying it's all about the ecosystem, but it just has to add value to my life. For example, if you tell me how to cook a great burger, then I can do it home. Then the next time I'm out, I might buy a burger at Burger King because you helped me.
But that's a very counterintuitive idea for the typical Burger King exec, I'll bet, right?
Exactly. But here's the thing. If you're going to get the new generation to be your customer, they want to be connected. They don't want the old average, hey, I'm greatest, buy my Burger King 2-for-1 on a Wednesday.
So the strategy that may have worked for our generation of hammering us with 9 impressions before we move and stuff, that doesn't work with the younger people.
Exactly. So my old saying is what I tell people is, we're not saying change what you're doing today and move forward to that. There's a whole thing that we could spend a whole nother show on about how it would have changed had the world worked normal and we didn't have a recession and didn't have the housing bubble and Gen Y would have moved into the working organization. However, if you want to be in business 5 years from now, you've got to start reaching those people now because they're the ones that are going to be with the money. They're the ones that are going to have the spendable income.
Well, Gen Y already has the money at my house.
They
do. I'll tell you that right now.
And they grew up with that. They grew up.
They don't have jobs.
They don't need them. They can live with parents. They don't need them.
They're the guy who made my coffee.
Yeah, but he's cool with that. I mean, he's cool with that.
How much money is he going to have in 5 years?
But see, they don't spend money. Think about it for a minute.
But I'm a guy. I wanted them to spend money, so they buy my stuff.
Well, exactly. In 5 years, though, they're going to be the new CEOs. What? They're going to be the new VPs.
They're going to be the head barista?
Yes, they're going to be the head barista. But however, these same people are working for organizations like Google, like Yahoo, like Apple. They're working for new manufacturing companies. They're getting those people in because those are the people that have this digital knowledge already with them. They come with that social media quote-unquote expertise. They don't know what it is. They say, hey, can you do a Facebook? Cool. But they're getting those people into the organization. Those people are going to move up and be the ones buying your products and your services. And if you're not reaching them now, by the time you start trying to reach them, it'll be too late.
Now, I understand you're working on a book. Tell us a little bit about that. When's it going to be out? Where can we get our hands on it?
I'm hoping that it's out by the end of the year.
Okay.
This year. So I know it's quite a year. I was hoping mid-year. So we're still working on when it's coming out. But basically, it's called, the working title, and this may change, is called Get It Right Social. So it's a way, it kind of describes how to, from a business point of view. So the best way I've used to describe this, and I'm not saying that this book is going to be as good as the other book, but are you familiar with the book called Good to Great?
Yes.
Okay, so this book is written on the same style, from a business consultant, from a business mindset, on helping people understand truly what social media is, what it's not, what its background is, what it's trending to. I mean, for example, I'll just give you a quick example. In 2014, the statistics are showing that more people will be using mobile than the internet. So if your website is not mobile engaged, have you ever gone to that website and you go and you click on it and you're like, it's cut off.
Right.
And believe it or not, there's even social media companies out there and other web companies that have websites that are not mobily enhanced, which you like, you got to be kidding me, right? So it's going to be a book about those type of things, how social is changing so much that you have to be on top of it. And there's a few people that are, and there's a lot of people out there trying to make a buck just saying that I can create a Facebook page. And that's not true social media. So it's kind of goes into the history. It talks about some other platforms like Hi5, Bebo, Second Life, virtual gen.
You got to be careful though. Either that or you got to write a new book every year, right?
Well, actually, no. What I'm going to do is I've already thought about that. Is I'm going to actually provide a website, a link to them, so they can mobile enhanced,
right.
So that they continue. And it may not be run by me. It may be by some
third
party.
It's going to be in Gary's cloud.
Exactly. It's going to be in Gary's cloud, but it's going to be
able to. All this is coming together, Les.
Exactly. So it's going to be able to. They're going to be able to see the top 25 social media sites and those type of things. So it'll be, are you familiar with the book 4-Hour Workweek?
Yes.
Okay, so it'll have a website with it so that it'll continuously grow and be dynamic.
Because
so,
I'm personally going to work up to a 4-Hour Workweek myself.
I'm there, man. I'm there. I live and die by that book.
That's a long time.
I think
four
our fourth
hours.
Hour might be on
I
Fridays.
I know, 4 hours.
We're doing the 2-Hour Workweek.
Well, Stone already told me he had a low work.
Exactly. Now, are you doing any speaking?
I am. Actually, I will be this weekend. I will be at SoCon 12 that Kennesaw State University is holding. And I'll be conducting a session called Creating a Social Media Strategy That Affects Behavior Using a Whole Brain Approach.
Now, do you ever get nervous when you're going to stand up in front of a bunch of people, or do you think about them in their underwear? What's your trick for being the... Because the reason I ask, we have a lot of people that come through here that are aspiring speakers, and I know a lot of our listeners are aspiring speakers, and it all sounds very sexy, but there's got to be some mechanics to that, right, that make for a good speaker?
There is. I've been speaking for quite a long time, so...
Well, you have a real good command of the language.
Probably since you were 2.
Thank you.
2. When did you start speaking?
Well, I think he's fluent.
Since I was 4.
4? A little
late. Well, I grew up
speaker?
In West Virginia, so I have to be careful. I'll go into my hillbilly slang. But the biggest thing for me when I get up on an to see an audience is I do get a little bit nervous, but I'm not scared of public speaking. A lot of people, that I think the statistics are 85% of the people are scared of public speaking. I'm one of the few percentages that I'm not scared of public speaking. So I use that nervousness as energy. If you do public speaking or you do any type of speaking or engagement, if you don't get nervous before you get ready to speak, you probably need to stop doing what you're doing because you've lost the ability to be passionate about what you're talking about.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah. So, no, I don't recommend.
That's what whole brain thinkers figure out.
So how do you market, and specifically, I'm kind of interested in, how do you market speaking engagements, or does that sort of just come over the transom because of the other work you're doing?
Yeah, it just came over because of the other work I'm doing. Kind of the author, you know, being an author is also because of the other work I'm doing. I'm not setting out to be an author. It just is the natural next step for my business and what I'm doing. But on the speaking engagements, it's just people that I've been able to develop a trusted reputation within this area and within the organization and within social media. Those are people that know me, know that I look at it from a different perspective, more from a holistic viewpoint. And so they invite me to these speaking engagements. I'm speaking at another conference in Orlando, Florida, in May. And one of my goals is to get some more speaking engagements for this year.
All right. Well, how can our listeners get in touch with you, learn more, maybe hire you to speak or buy a box of books?
They can go to my really bad website that still needs work.
See, he's hedging now. After he slammed everybody's website,
now
he's hedging.
But mine is mobile enhanced, though. You can get it on your mobile device. It's orange-sms.com or, my favorite, mysylbert, mysylbert.com. Very quick about mysylbert. Mysylbert started out as a kind of fun community, and then I had some development issues, meaning I had a problem with my developer.
Oh, I thought maybe you had some development issues.
Yes, I didn't develop as a child. I'm still working on that. But the how Sylbert came about is my father's name is Syl Adkins, and when I started my company, I was looking at names like Adkins Enterprises and Adkins Inc. and Adkins Corporation, and all of them were taken in Georgia. So I thought, well, I need to have a really cool name for a company. So my parent name of my company is Sylbert LLC, which is my father's nickname, Sylbert. So that's how mysylbert came about. And my goal for mysylbert is to be a more fun, interactive community. Probably it will be associated very closely with the book, Get It Right.
Well, you've certainly made today fun and interactive. Thanks so much for coming back.
Not a problem.
Back,
thank
man.
You for having me. I look forward to possibly coming back again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Lee Cantor, our guests this morning, Gary Feldman, Leslie Dubin, and Mr. Les Adkins, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the Fast Lane.